This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about the legacy of 9/11. Since the 9/11 terror attacks, there has been a lot of interest in better understanding the psychological impact of traumatic experiences and how they affect people's overall health. In the months after the tragedy, one researcher saw a unique opportunity to study a vulnerable population, and her work changed how trauma is being studied. Sojourner Ahebe has more.
When Dr. Leila Hajjar walked into her clinic on September 11th, 2001, it was chaos.
And I remember so very clearly because I was parking my car in the parking lot of the clinic, and I was listening to the BBC, and he said that the first attack happened, and he thought it was an air accident.
There are reports that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center, setting it on fire.
And then he said, oh my God, this
again,
is a second plane.
And at that point, people came screaming past me saying, just get out, just get out, just get out.
And I walked in, and everyone was in a panic, and all the TVs were on.
The realization that these were terror attacks resonated in a different way for her patients. Leila is an OBGYN who serves a large Arab community in Detroit, Michigan.
And then we started getting all those calls from the Arabic patients, and many of them were so distressed and crying when they found out that it was Arabic terrorists, basically. And so after the initial guilt and sadness, if I may say, there was a lot of fear and there was a lot of worry about people's own safety and that of their family.
Leila could relate. She immigrated to the U.S. from Lebanon in the mid-80s and settled in Michigan, which has the second largest Arab population in the country. And in the weeks after the 9/11 attacks, people who were perceived to be Arabs were the target of increased harassment, violence, and workplace discrimination. And Leila says this heightened moment of fear and violence showed up in her clinic. She remembers several incidents with Muslim patients who were dressed in burqas.
Feeling intimidated even, trying to get to the clinic and them telling me, look, these people down there, they're just kind of staring at me and I just feel so uncomfortable. They made this comment or they said, why is she dressed like that?
And she says tensions between Arab patients and staff were at an all-time high.
Patients felt, for example, they were treated differently in the delivery suite or in the delivery room when they went to deliver than if they had not been Arabs, that things weren't explained to them as well. They weren't treated as nicely.
And as the stress mounted in her Detroit clinic, so did the stress-related illnesses among the Arab women she was working with.
I tended to see maybe more women going to the hospital for issues like preterm contractions, sometimes preterm death, hypertension.
And she started to wonder how the stress would impact birth outcomes for her Arab patients. Diane Lauderdale, a health researcher at the University of Chicago, had the same question. Diane is an epidemiologist, and she studies behavioral and social impacts on health.
And I just thought about the fact that we had just come through an awful year. And then it occurred to me that it was particularly awful for Arab Americans. And I thought this was a unique opportunity to get some kind of evidence about racism and birth outcomes.
In 2002, she turned her attention to California, a huge and diverse state with the largest Arab population in the country. Diane requested every birth certificate from the state of California dated from 2000 to 2002. She looked at data on women who were pregnant or gave birth in the 6 months following September 2001, compared with the same six calendar months 1 year earlier. Diane created an Arabic name algorithm to identify Arab women who had given birth during that time, and she considered things like their infants' birth weights, their gestational ages. What she found was that there were some significant differences.
The women with distinctive Arabic names had an increased risk of both preterm birth and low birth weight babies compared to very similar women who'd given birth a year earlier. Now, of course, 9/11 was stressful for everybody in the country, But it was not an effect that was seen in any other group of women who are similarly compared in the same two time periods. So all women or white women or Latina women, Asian women, or even all foreign-born women.
Diane says her findings were in line with the growing research that showed links between ethnicity-related stress during pregnancy and increases in the risk of preterm birth. At the time, there was actually a physiological mechanism health researchers were paying more attention to. It's called corticotropin-releasing hormone. She says this hormone might explain how exposure to discrimination triggers this kind of maternal stress response in the body.
So it's a hormone that is released in the uterus in response to either the mother's or probably the fetus's being in stress. And then in other studies have also found that when the level of this hormone is measured in pregnant women, that the values in the second trimester are linked to probabilities of preterm birth subsequent to that.
Scientists had been interested in the relationship between the stress of racism and pregnancy outcomes, but the typical approach to studying this was limited to interviewing women about their discrimination experiences mid and post-pregnancy.
Trying to identify where the mechanism is more difficult if you don't know whether it's just a lifetime of material and psychological and social problems, or whether it's actually some more specific physiologic mechanism that occurs related to stress pathways during pregnancy. It's just hard to separate.
Diane says 9/11 provided her this brief and unprecedented research window to observe the impact of anti-Arab violence on a specific and vulnerable population. And the study design has been generalized to other research efforts in the U.S. and around the world, where various kinds of unprecedented and traumatic events happen to specific groups of people.
So, for example, there was a very interesting investigation of whether a big crackdown on immigration, on illegal immigrants in Iowa, was associated with Latinas having an increased preterm birth rate. And there was some evidence it did.
Diane's study has been important in affirming a link between racism experienced by Black women and their very high preterm birth rates in this country. And overall, the study influenced how this kind of research is done. So naturally, the question becomes, what role do healthcare providers play in all of this?
It's really hard to know what a doctor or provider could do to combat sort of a general social problems that are outside the medical system. Within the medical system, there can be care that women are treated appropriately and equitably, but this was not particularly about discrimination in the healthcare setting, and it would be hard for doctors to change society at large. It's not really a healthcare problem.
But Leila Hajar, the OBGYN in Michigan, says despite that, in the past 20 years, doctors and health systems have been increasingly interested in doing their part.
We have committees, we have discussions, we have people from the receptionist to the nurses to the physicians trying to find out what are we lacking here, how can we improve it, how can we fight those biases that we have that may or may not be conscious.
That story was reported by Sojourner Ahebe.